Hey, you are listening to Beyond the Sermon, episode
9.
Hey guys, Michael Kennedy, lead pastor of North River Church. We are here with another episode of Beyond the Sermon, and we are going Facebook Live with this as well for at least a few minutes. And so I'm sitting here with good friends, fellow staff members, Pastor Scott Kirlin. What's up, Scotty the Body?
Hey-o!
Hey, man. Good to see you.
Good to see
Pastor
you.
Pastor Adam Reed?
I'm right here behind the screen.
There we go. Good to see you, bud. And behind the microphone for those who are not watching right now, right?
That's right.
Good deal. So we will kick off with our episode here. And we've got a couple of things that we're going to talk about just to kick things off. We want to try to go in and talk about something that you posted on Instagram just a little while ago, I guess this morning. Scott, tell
us about
that.
That's right. Yeah, and we're still looking for some chatter. So if you're watching this on Facebook land, we would love some answers to this question. What is the worst Christmas gift that you've ever received? Now, I know you have to be careful how you answer that because somebody might be listening who sent you the worst Christmas gift that you ever received.
Yes.
But if you're on Facebook Live right now, feel free to give us some feedback there. We did have at least one that was sent in via text.
Okay. Yes.
And
So share that one with us.
Yeah. So Andrew Damon sent in his worst. He said, it's always those popcorn tins with the three or four disgusting flavors. Only the caramel would get eaten. And then you were left with 10 pounds of cardboard flavored popcorn. And man, we've all been there, right? Those popcorn tins, just awful. Is somebody giving feedback already?
What do we have going on here?
I'm scared. I'm really scared. It's like a Snapchat filter. Is there like a rainbow coming out of my mouth?
That is awesome. Oh, man. That's amazing. That's great. So if you're listening to the podcast,
oh my gosh,
you'll have no clue what's going on. But I log on to the Facebook page and we'll find out a little bit more about what's happening here. And
that's awesome.
This is good, man. I love it.
Dude, that's amazing.
So evidently I have reindeer ears and Rudolph's nose right now. So there we go. Good stuff.
Man.
All right. So Scott, tell us what is the worst Christmas present that you have ever received?
All right. I'm going to be vulnerable here. All right, cuz I realize I'm opening myself up to all kinds of just hateful criticism here, but my great-grandmother every year would give me, and then there's two different ways to say this. I was told earlier it's tidy whities, but I have it on a good source that it could also be whity tidies. That's correct. And great-grandmother, Rosalie, if you will, would give me whitey tidies every single Christmas. That's all we would get from her. And it would just be one pack every year. So she was consistent. You know, she was consistent.
It. Yeah, so, that's great. Good deal.
Good times, man.
So if you didn't see the picture on Facebook or you didn't see the Instagram post, speaking of tidy whities or whitey tidies, how about the hander pants?
Oh, man. I got to get some hander pants.
So we actually looked to see if hander pants were on sale, and you can buy hander pants. If you have no idea what that's all about, go to Amazon and check out hander pants. This episode proudly brought to you by hander pants.
Hander pants.
There we go. So good deal. Adam, what's the worst Christmas gift you've ever gotten?
Well, let's see. I think we are ending our Facebook Live. You'll have to tune in to the podcast to find out.
All right.
I think probably one of the worst gifts that we received was Wendy and I a few years ago had gotten a fish for a Christmas present. And so it was somebody just decided that we needed something living to take care of. That was a very random gift that we did not ask for and did not want to take care of, but we were the proud owners of a betta fish for
nice.
A little while. And
did you name it? Did you get attached?
I think the fish was named Angel, and the ironic thing is that my wife does not care for seafood at all, and most of it comes from the smell. of fish, that fishy smell, and definitely had a hard time cleaning out the tank and taking care of this gift somebody had given to us.
Poor angel.
Gotcha. Speaking of fish, this is not necessarily a gift that we received, but in seminary, you couldn't own a pet in seminary housing. And so we decided we would break all the rules and get a fish. We got a betta fish.
Yep.
And the rebels that we were in seminary. So we got a betta fish. But just being honest, I got tired of cleaning the tank that we had the betta fish in, or the bowl or whatever. And so I told Jenny when we were leaving, I want to say we were leaving to go on Christmas break and we were going to visit family. And I think... I think we probably ended up leaving the fish maybe more than once. But anyway, we left the fish and secretly hoped that it would not survive the time away from us. And so we come back and the house smelled pretty bad when we came in the door.
Goodness.
It was slime green, just all in the bowl. Man. And we realized that the fish was still alive.
Nice.
Yep, so we were not able... I think we ended up giving that fish to somebody when we left.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it may still be alive.
Should all of our friends of PETA give you a call?
That's right.
Yeah. Probably so.
Maybe they'll sponsor us.
That's it. Hey, eat a fish, you know? So, that's good.
Right.
So, guys, any anything else Christmas-wise? Did anybody say anything?
I don't think we have yet. Now, you know how it was last week. We had several people, you know, joining us a little bit late.
Commenting later on.
So, maybe we'll get something. I'm just praying Megan does not comment.
Let's be honest, Scott. have you ever given Megan a bad Christmas gift?
I mean...
Every year?
Pretty much every year. It's bad, man. So one year, she asked for a book, one specific book. I think it's like The Art of French Cooking or something like that. Well, you know, in my mind, what's better than one book? 25 books. So I went on eBay and bought like 25 used cookbooks. Yeah, none of them survived.
They've all been
thrown away.
Yeah.
And last year.
tell me about, I remember you talking about getting her some shoes.
Yes. So last year, she had asked for, on her Amazon wish list, there was a pair of shoes on there. And so I thought, man, I'm gonna get some shoes. I don't know if they were exactly like that or very similar, you know. So on Christmas morning, she opens this present and she said, "Oh, are these my shoes?" I was like, "Yeah, Merry Christmas." And she was like, "No, I mean, are these literally the shoes that were already in my closet?" She had the exact pair of shoes.
Oh, wow.
And I just... Like, you got to be kidding me. You know, I took them back, obviously, and got something different for her, but I just have very bad luck when it comes to Christmas presents.
I can't wait to hear what this year's story is going to be.
Oh, man. I'm already dreading it. Just dreading it.
That's good. So Adam, I think you've got a Laffy Taffy broken out right here. So let's hear a little Laffy Taffy joke.
So the Laffy Taffy joke, I already ran these by Janet, and she told me that only one of these was good. So I'll give you the one that was the better joke. And that is, what street does a ghost live on? He lives on a dead end.
Okay, nice.
Wait, that was the good one or the bad one?
That was the good one.
Man, we need to... I wonder, could you imagine if your job was to write jokes for Laffy Taffy rappers?
I think I'm going
to
start writing jokes and sending them in and see if I can get them on Laffy Taffy.
Something
like that. Man. You got to send into Babylon B, man.
Do I get any royalty for that?
You probably do.
Surely, right?
All goes to the building fund at the church.
And they could sponsor the podcast.
They could. That'd be perfect. And make a large donation to the building fund.
But today's podcast is brought to us by Beef O'Brady's, right?
Beef O'Brady's.
Yes, Beef O'Brady's. We went today to Beef O'Brady's as a staff, and so we had a good time there. It almost was going to be brought also by Burger King milkshakes.
That's right.
But we had a little one in our church that had surgery this morning, and so we stopped by with a Burger King milkshake. Pastor Scott was secretly hoping that she would not be home and not be able to take it.
I asked for 3 straws just in case. Just in case.
That's right. So let's see. We are ready to dive into this episode of Beyond the Sermon. I guess that was all filler there at the beginning.
That's right.
Wasn't it?
That's right. Good.
We are still working through our series called The Cross and the Manger as we work through Luke chapter 1, and we'll get into chapter 2 on Christmas Eve, and then Christmas Day, finish up in there. So, but this week we looked at Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 56, and we focused in on Mary's song of praise, or as Adam gave Janet a hard time, our church secretary who was putting the bulletin together, kept asking her, who's Marty? And what's his song of praise?
Marty's song of praise.
So,
it's from Back to the Future, isn't it?
That's it, sure. Yeah.
Marty so,
guys, Luke chapter 1, Mary's song. Scott, I love the song that we sang yesterday, of worship.
Chris Tomlin's My Soul Magnifies the Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
That was good.
So good.
Good deal, man.
We're doing it again Sunday. Because it's still pretty new, I think, to the church at large.
That's nice. I like that. That'd be great. So anything that stuck out to you on Sunday morning, Scott?
You know, I loved just the common theme throughout of worship, you know. What causes me to sing.
What worship guy wouldn't love it?
Right? I mean, I was like, yeah, you know, bring it. And but, you know, that God is worthy no matter what kind of day I'm having, you know. You almost quoted my favorite songwriter, Matt Redman, you know, when you talked about, you know, worshiping even in the mundane, you know. And Matt Redman has a lot to say about that. But, you know, on the highs and the lows, you know, God is worthy, and you know, especially on those low days, and we all have them from time to time, and especially when we encounter really difficult circumstances, you know, that's when people are watching and people are looking to see, okay, is their faith really, you know, what it appears to be? Are they going to worship God the same on the horrible, horrible day, you know, even as they would on a regular Sunday? And so I thought it was an awesome message, a great reminder that God is worthy of our praise in all circumstances.
That's right.
That's good. Yeah. So we, as we work through the text, we kind of asked the question, I asked the question at the beginning, what makes you sing? And I shared a story about my dad and the very first Lynyrd Skynyrd concert that I went to.
Man. I was ready for you to break out some Sweet Home Alabama or something.
You know, I thought about it, and I thought, well, I may better not do that. And then
the band could have had your back. I mean, we were ready.
That would have been good. I should have kept you guys up there and let you play the intro.
Oh, my goodness.
That'd be good. So, yeah, I will say that was probably one of the best concerts I've ever been to. Lynyrd Skynyrd, ZZ Top.
Oh, man.
So, and their beards, man, are just legit. ZZ Top, yeah.
That's so cool.
So, Sharp Dressed Man.
Yeah.
Oh, it's good. So, anyway, where that come from?
What causes you to sing?
That's there you go. What causes you to sing? Man, I lost my train of thought.
What causes
there for
your dad
a second.
To sing?
That's yes, that's it. So I think for all of us, there are certain things, and I say sing in a sense of not necessarily singing out loud or anything like that, but what causes us to rejoice, to praise, to lift up our voices in excitement of what's going on. And we see Mary do that, and in really just a beautiful way in this song of praise that she sings to the Lord. And we focused in on three realities that God is worthy of our praise. Number one, because of what He's done. Number two, because of what He's doing. And then number three, because of what He will do. And for Mary, as she looked back and realized all that God had done to bring this moment to bear, that she would be the mother of the Christ child, the Messiah, God's promises that He'd made throughout the Old Testament, and making sure that His people knew that a Savior was coming, and then finding the fulfillment here as Mary's told by the angel Gabriel that she's going to bear the son, as that's confirmed even by Elizabeth here in the first part of those verses that we covered on Sunday, when the baby Michael Jordan style leapt in her womb.
I was waiting for you, the tongue hanging out.
Yeah, I thought about
slam
it,
dunk.
Man. So you know, it just is a reminder as we look at that and realize that that this was not just a quick thought in God's mind, that this was something that even before the foundations of the world were laid, that God had prepared to send His Son. And and so as Mary's had a chance to reflect on that, she praises God for what He's done. She also praises Him for what He's doing in the moment. And that's a thing that's hard for us to do, because this was not an easy situation for Mary to be in, though the joy was certainly there and the excitement was there. There was also a known that was there, and yet she praises him for what he's doing immediately in her life in that moment, and then looks forward to what this Christ child coming into the world is going to do for God's people in the future. I tried to emphasize, and we had a pastor who is a retired Southern Baptist pastor that was in our church Sunday, and I've just moved to the area, started coming, and he made the comment. He said, you know, I've preached that passage so many times, but I've never approached it from the perspective that you approached it from. And then I said, was there heresy in what I said? You know, I was always nervous about
right.
that. But he said, no, he said, I just never thought about the fact of what caused Mary to sing and what caused her to praise the Lord, and how that transfers into our life. Why do we praise the Lord? Or do we praise the Lord? Mm-hmm. And we have every reason to praise the Lord for the same thing that Mary emphasized, what God's done, what he's doing, and what he will do. And I think it's good at this point of the year, as we reflect back on 2016 and look forward to 2017, that we think about what has God done in my life over the past year? Mm-hmm. Or if you're a believer, what has God done in your life since you got saved? Mm-hmm. What's changed in your life? What have you seen God take you through and walk with you through? And he's worthy of the praise of what he's done in your life. He's worthy of the praise of what he's doing in your life. Mm-hmm. So I think hopefully God is at work in each and every one of the believers' lives here at North River Church and around the world, that God's using us for his impact, for his glory. And I think it's good for us not only to look at what God's done in our lives, but to look at what he's doing in the immediate. Who are the people that he's placed in our life that we can reach out to? What situations is he putting us in our days immediate here that we have a chance to watch what he's doing and to participate in what he's doing? And then just the hope of looking forward. I think Christmas season is one of expectation, and it's one of hope. It's one of hopes fulfilled in Christ. And as we think about that, knowing what Christ has done and what he is going to do in setting all things right when he returns. And so I think God's worthy of our praise, and he's deserving of our praise for those three things. So, mm-hmm. Pastor Adam, anything that stuck out to you that...
Yeah, I think the thing that... you know, I just kind of really zoned in on was, I guess, the first point of, you know, God's worthy of our praise because of what he has done. And I think you kind of hinted at this towards parents and grandparents of just, you know, your kids need to hear what God's done in your life, you know, and just that challenge to parents. If you look back and throughout the especially in the Old Testament, you know, God regularly was having the Israelites set up an altar to point back to for the generations to come of, like, this is how God was faithful to us here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think our kids need to hear those stories, even mm-hmm. if it was, you know, this was a rough time in my life or a rough couple of months, but God was able to use those things to fulfill a promise or to do something in our own lives. Mm-hmm. How he kind of grew us through that situation. Our kids need to hear that because, you know, as parents, you know, they're looking to us as grandparents, you know, even, you know, those kids look up to you and they want to see that this faith that we have isn't just a Sunday morning. I come, I open up my Bible and read something, but it's something that happens each day throughout the week. And so just that whole idea, and you know, so I mean, it's just the challenge of, I think, for myself as well as just any parent to just sit down with their kids this Christmas season and have that opportunity to discuss with them, like, hey, this past year, this is where we've seen God be faithful to our family. Mm-hmm. And we can praise him through those things.
Yeah, absolutely. Wanted to share this with you guys, but also with those of you who listen on the podcast. And one of our listeners actually sent this to me, one of our church members. one who has trusted Christ even this year as her Savior, and she sent me a picture of a Bible that's well worn. It's obvious that it was used highly, was valued in someone's life. And then included in there are handwritten notes and things like that. And this is what she said. I have my grandmother's Bible, which you can tell by the picture was very loved and used often. She would jot down all kinds of notes and scraps of sentimental things and put them in there. And there was this list of quote-unquote miracles she kept that I used to think was weird because they were all pretty awful things. And I didn't understand why she would keep that list. She says, I try to forget all the bad stuff. She said, but when you talked about looking back on the things that God has walked us through, I made the connection that that was what her list was. So thank you for that and the change in perspective. Mm. And man, I just sat back and thought, she's got this preserved copy of her grandmother's Bible with these notes in there. And you talk about passing from one generation to the next, what God's done and how He's shown faithful. Mm. Just what a treasure something like that is. And so I just thought that was a neat follow-up to that. So. Mm-hmm. So that's good. Any other things that stuck out to you guys that y'all wanted to emphasize from the sermon on Sunday? Mm-hmm. Hey, I will say this. Pastor Adam got to hear it live and in person. So he did mention that he may would have preferred double time. But,
yeah, that's right. He was probably trying to speed you up.
He was.
Come on, move this along a little
bit. That's right.
I think, too, the third point that you mentioned was that God's worthy of our praise because of what He will do. And obviously this was Mary's song, and so she was singing it in present day about what will happen. And, yeah. I mean, I think it was even the realization that she has the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and that He was going to be her child. And so it was even, a longing for that salvation that she was longing for. And, we're on this side of it. And so, but there's still a longing for what will happen when He returns in our own, for us.
Absolutely. No, that's right. So, in a real sense, what she was looking forward to, we look back on,
right,
and we look forward to His return.
Right.
So, yeah, that's good.
Absolutely.
All right. So, Scott, what's on for next week, worship-wise? I know we'll do Tomlin again.
Yeah.
Old Tomlin.
And when in doubt, there's going to be some Tomlin.
That's good. Can't go wrong with Tomlin.
Can't go wrong with Tomlin, man.
There you go.
But, I think... I think it's safe to say we're in the middle of the Christmas season here, and so it'll probably be all Christmas all the time.
Christmas all the time. I like it.
But yeah, man,
that sounds good.
Maybe add a couple that we haven't done, but most of them will probably be songs we've done up to this point. There's a handful of obviously great Christmas songs that people really, want to sing, want to use as we praise God, throughout the Christmas season.
Yeah.
And so you want to try to do those, a couple times
right.
Throughout the season. And then maybe there's a few that are a little bit less popular, less common, I guess, that we might throw in there as well. So
that's good.
Yeah.
Excited about that. We'll dive back into Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 57 and going all the way through verse 80. So we'll complete Luke chapter 1 this coming Sunday. And the title of the message will be, He Must Increase, I Must Decrease. And so we're talking about John coming into the world, his birth, that's John the Baptist, who would be the forerunner for Jesus. And interestingly, we hear from John's dad, Zechariah. And for me, it's when I began reading through this passage and kind of preparing for that, I was just struck by this momentous time in Zechariah's life, this son that he's been longing for, had no children up until this point, the time when the spotlight should have been on his son, on John, he turns the spotlight to what God's doing. Mm-hmm. And I think it's easy for us, man, I'm going to give away my sermon before we even get to Sunday. But I'll just say this. I think it's easy for us to put the spotlight this time of year on the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Whether that's family time, which is not bad in and of itself, whether that's presents or gifts or finding, you know, the right decorations or whatever it may be, it's easy for us to shine the spotlight on things that this time of year can never hold the full weight of what this Christmas season is all about. The only one who can hold that weight is Christ who came. Mm-hmm. And that is where the spotlight needs to be. Mm-hmm. And we're simply forerunners able to carry out the truth to those around us of who Jesus is and what he came to do. And so I think it's a great reminder for us as we look at that passage this coming week. So if you're reading ahead, go ahead and read beginning in verse 57 of Luke chapter 1 through the end of the chapter. And we'll cover that this coming Sunday. Also, just a few things announcement-wise coming up for our church as we head into the Christmas season. Don't forget that we will have Christmas Eve service at 5 p.m. That'll be candlelight service. It will be a family service, so there'll be no child care that night. It's just going to be a great time of us gathering together, of singing, of praising the Lord, of considering what it means for Christ to come into the world as our Savior, as our Emmanuel, God with us. And we'll also have candlelight singing that night, so it'll be good. So we'll shut the lights out and have a great time doing that. Mm-hmm. Pastor Adam, I hear you're going to actually get some stage time, brother.
Yeah, I'll be doing some things with the kids on Christmas Eve and then on Christmas Day as well. So we'll look forward to that.
Yeah.
And then I think we talked about on January 1st, you can bring the new year in, I guess, with me. So
that's it. Yeah, absolutely. So Christmas Eve, Pastor Adam will be leading a time with the kids, walking through the Christmas story. And then Christmas morning, he may come in costume.
Oh.
So we're hearing.
Buddy the Elf?
Buddy,
Buddy the Elf. Dang.
That would be good. So that's a lot of fun. So here's the thing I want to talk about. And then you'll be preaching New Year's Day.
Right.
Yeah. So not because, let's just clear the air, not because I'm going to be out of town.
He's just got to see if I'm like how I am. And
That's it. See if I'm going to turn it over to him. Yeah.
You'll be out of town. You'll just be sleeping late. Right?
Yes. I'll be snoozing in. So no, I'm definitely looking forward to it. I think it's good. Good for me not to preach every Sunday. So so excited about Adam preaching that Sunday. Just don't mess up, man. No, I'm kidding.
Just no pressure.
Yeah,
no
that's pressure. Good. But here's something I did want to address because I think it's important for us to at least have just a brief conversation about it, a current event, I guess. Mm-hmm. The fact that Christmas Day this year falls on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to just kind of look at that and offer some wisdom, I hope, some insight, some really a challenge to those of you who are listening, not to skip church on Christmas Day. And, you know, you're
like... Why are you
like,
looking at me?
Yeah, that's it. Pastor Scott, you don't have a choice, bud.
Yes, sir.
But no, here's the thing that I think could very easily happen, and I want to caution against, and that is to say, well, I'll go on Christmas Eve at 5 so I can skip Christmas Day at 10.
Right.
And here's what I want to challenge you with. The fact that out of all of the days that we gather together to worship, I think for me, there are 2 days in particular that are really cornerstone to our faith as believers. Mm-hmm. One of those is Easter. And so I certainly would encourage you be there on Easter Sunday. But then the next one would be the birth of Jesus, mm-hmm. Just a cornerstone. And so I believe that it's important for us as we think about this with our families, as we think about it with our kids, that we remind them of the purpose for which we celebrate Christmas. And once again, I'm going to highlight this on Sunday morning, but that the spotlight on Christmas morning should not be on the presents under the tree. It shouldn't even be on family time together, though that's great. The spotlight on Christmas morning should be on Jesus, who is coming into the world, who is our Savior. And so I can think of no better way to celebrate that, to make sure that that's a priority in our families than gathering together with God's people and worshiping together as a family. Mm-hmm. Again, I emphasize to our church this Sunday that that we're going to have shorter services for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, probably 45 to 50 minutes. But I still think it's such an important thing. If we're going to say that Jesus is the reason for the season, mm-hmm. We need to live that out on Sunday morning, Christmas Day. And we need to gather together as God's people for worship. So I'll say this, if you're going to be out of town, I'll give you a pass. If you're not here and you're in town, I pray your Christmas tree catches on fire. Can I say that?
That's extreme, but
yeah.
You said it already. But
that's
yeah.
extreme. I'll edit that out. Don't worry.
Okay. Yeah, that's it. We won't leave that in.
Oh,
so.
Man.
All right. Well, that is Beyond the Sermon, episode
9.
9.
I don't know Spanish well enough to say 9 in Spanish.
So. Nueve.
Yeah, nueve. There we go.
We sound really bad.
I know, right? Seriously.
So come on back next week as we have Beyond the Sermon episode X.
Are we eating cake that day?
We get cake.
Hey, somebody needs to provide cake for us to celebrate our 10th anniversary episode. So
we'll have hats and candles, and Pastor Michael will blow out candles.
There you go. That's right.
That's it. Can it be a tobacco-smelling candle?
Oh.
It's your podcast, man.
That's it. Hey, I will say this. I have a picture on my phone of Pastor Scott in a compromising situation.
Yeah.
So the first person who brings me a Christmas present will get a copy of that picture.
You only have one picture of me in a compromising situation?
That's pretty
By
impressive.
Now, you should have a few.
That's it. So, Megan, if you're listening, all I need is a Christmas present.
There you go. That's right.
The praise team
that's
is right. already sending you.
Yeah, seriously. I'm that's
sure.
right.
So, all right, guys. Appreciate you. We'll catch you next week.
Have a good one.
Bye.
I'm just kidding.